Welcome to the Progression Health Podcast. I'm here with Brad Miles. Brad, do you want to introduce yourself to the listeners?
Absolutely. Yeah. Thanks for having me, Ross. My name is Brad Miles, co-founder of Lever Movement. We're based out of Boulder, Colorado. We are a bodyweight support device company. We've been around for about 5 years now.
Great. So yeah, I saw Lever on social media. The athlete Lewis Orta was using it. I was like, right, it's got to be good if he's using it. But I don't really know a whole lot about, you know, bodyweight support training. And I see a lot of potential for injury or just daily use. So how did it come about? And, you know, what's the kind of the target market?
So it came about because I ran for a D1 school down in Texas, and our school had two Alter Gs for just the track program. And so Alter Gs, you know, been around for 20, 25 years now. You can read their website, but like kind of NASA built, like using an air bubble, air pressure treadmill, you zip yourself in, it blows up, and you can reduce your body weight using air pressure, essentially. And so when I came out of school, loved the functionality, but I came out of college, moved up to Boulder, Colorado, and a lot of my friends at the time were professional runners, triathletes, even Olympians. And anytime they got banged up or a little injured and had to take a day or two off even from running, like they did not have access to an Alter G. They're just very inaccessible because they are so expensive. My co-founder and I are really starting to think like, hey, there's got to be a way to make this type of functionality available for the everyday athlete. And we did some research, and there was nothing out there that made sense for somebody to purchase for their home treadmill. And so we designed a treadmill attachment. We sit on the arms of a treadmill. And, you know, we wanted to make it as accessible and affordable as possible for, you know, every athlete around the world. And so we kind of set off with that mission about 5 years ago or so. And it's been a really cool ride. Yeah. We've been doing a lot, had to do a lot of education because there's not much awareness about bodyweight support in this space. But, you know, now that we've been in for 5 years or so, like just word of mouth and the testimonials that we're getting from customers are really cool. So a lot of people are telling their friends, which is helpful for us.
Great. Yeah, I think it has so much potential. So just to compare it to the Alter G, I know it's pretty expensive. Like how much do they cost in comparison, and how much is it for a session versus, you know, if you buy the Lever?
The treadmills can go anywhere from $40,000, $50,000, $80,000. A lot of NBA, NFL teams have, D1 schools have the budget for them.
So it's not really like for personal use. You would not have one of these machines unless you're like Kipchoge or somebody.
You know, Dathan Ritzenhine had one in his house. He had one of the original Alter Gs in his house, which is awesome. But other than Dathan and actually Kara Goucher, there's not too many other people I know that have one of these systems at their home.
It's not accessible for the average athlete.
Right. Yeah. And even like in a town like Boulder, where there's just everybody is a pretty elite athlete, you know, CU has one. There may be like a PT in town that has one, but, you know, also they're just really expensive to use. So if you even wanted to rent it out for an hour, let's say 60 minutes, $60 to $100 or even more to rent those out for an hour. And so that's really what our goal was to provide something that, you know, somebody could have at their home. And, you know, we haven't gotten into this piece yet, but it's not just for injury recovery. A lot of healthy athletes, and the goal is to continue using it even when you come back from your injury. But our goal was to, you know, have a device that made sense from an affordability standpoint. And then what we also did during COVID is we actually opened up a rental option for our system as well. So we start at $999, but you can also rent it out for $99 a month. That can convert into a rent-to-own program as well. So we're just trying to make bodyweight support as accessible as possible, mainly because the functionality is so good and nobody knows about it. We're trying to spread the word that way.
Just on the education side, if someone hasn't heard of bodyweight training, what's kind of like maybe the science, or like, you know, what exactly is happening when someone is running without the suspension versus when they are, you know, suspended?
The reason why bodyweight support is really beneficial is because, you know, if you go out for a run, you know, there's the swing and the stance part of a running phase, right? And so, you know, swing is when your foot's in the air essentially, and stance is when you're on the ground. And so part of the stance, there's ground reaction forces that come with it. There's a horizontal ground reaction force and a vertical ground reaction force. That vertical ground reaction force can really lead to, is a significant factor that leads to a lot of injuries. So when you're running, your vertical ground reaction force is three times your body weight on average. So, you know, that can be depending on speed too. So like 2.5 up to 5 times your body weight. So if you take somebody like me, 150 pounds, I go out for a run, every single time I'm stepping on the ground, it's 450 pounds on that 1 foot. And so you can just extrapolate that over a 60 minute run. That's a lot of weight that you're putting on each foot. And so going back to it, body weight support reduces your body weight while you're exercising. And so it's taking a bit of that impact off of every single step that you're taking. And the neat part with it too is, you know, when you reduce, you know, 10, 15, 20% of your body weight, some niggles that you have that are, you think are just kind of common running niggles that you want to run through actually just completely go away when you're reducing 15 to 20% of your body weight.
Interesting. Wow. So kind of like isolates the training to the cardiovascular system as opposed to the physical body itself. Like you're training your heart more and less your joints and muscles.
Yes and no, right? So train your heart more if you are running faster. If you're running faster, your heart is going to be trained more. One of the things that's interesting about body weight support though is if you reduce 10% of your body weight while you're exercising, so at 90% body weight, you are running 30 seconds per mile faster at the same effort. Example we talked about before is, you know, 7 minute mile pace outdoors translates to 6:30 per mile on with body weight support at 90%. So your heart rate's going to be the same at both of those paces. You're actually training your heart to go slower in a way as well.
Would you be more economical? You'd be more efficient. Is that kind of the main benefit there? Training your heart to go slower?
Yeah. So a lot of it is around that. You know, we did research with University of Memphis as well. And one of the things that they just dived into was how body weight support and unloading your body improves running economy. We can talk about it from like a cardio standpoint, but then also from just like a running gait, like your posture, your gait actually improves as well when you're able to reduce your body weight.
That's like a benefit I didn't expect to hear. And just one kind of question I had exactly with the equipment itself. I saw someone comment online about like arm swing. Is the technique, you know, for example, just running freely on the road versus running with the support, is it changed at all?
Yeah, as far as your arm swings go. So the neat thing with what we've designed into our product is where the bungee connections are from in the front and the back crossbar, those adapters can slide across the front crossbar. I was talking to somebody even yesterday, they said like, you know, it took me like 2 to 3 runs to figure out where I needed those adapters to be on the front and back connection points. But once they dialed that in, there was no impact to arm swing. So, you know, it's one of the things that you have to kind of tweak a little bit as you go, but you know, once you dial it into yourself specifically, it should be just as natural as you are running outside.
Totally. Yeah. And 2 to 3 runs is like very reasonable. That's not much at all, you know? So I'm someone who's not particularly experienced with treadmill running. You know, what is the carryover effect? What's the difference? Impact forces, kind of a little bit of science behind it. What's the difference between running on the road versus running on a treadmill and especially using lever?
As far as like treadmill and road goes, I feel like people could go back and forth with what's better, what's worse for you. You know, I know people that if they run on a treadmill, they get injured. And so they don't run on a treadmill. You can say that for both ways, right? Like, I don't think there's a one size fits all with treadmill running or outdoor running. What I would say though, too, is it's some of those same people that get injured on a treadmill that they can actually use our product and run on a treadmill because they are reducing, like, again, going back to ground reaction force, they're reducing the impact and the load on their joints while they're exercising on the treadmill. You know, I specifically enjoy the treadmill just because you can dial in like the workout that you're looking to hit. I'm not a huge fan of treadmills if you're just going out for, you know, your 8-10 mile like easy run. But if I can really like dial in a purposeful run on the treadmill, whether that be, you know, crazy incline running and doing like intervals on that or even some speed work, I do prefer the treadmill for those purposes.
Interesting. Yeah, it's like you can almost run an experiment on yourself or keep the variables very specific, very controlled, and get a much more effective workout with also that lower impact to the joints, which is a huge benefit. Is there any cost to using kind of lever or a treadmill, like missing out on those forces that might kind of strengthen the joints or the muscles?
First things first is I want to make sure that we're not saying that you should do all your runs with lever. Like, we actually have had people that do that. They will probably bonk a little earlier, right? Like at mile 10 or 11 out of like 13, like they just around that time period, like they feel their bones, they feel their muscles. And it's because they didn't develop that impact on the roads. So for us, I'm probably a great example of it. Like I'm getting ready for 60K Ultra here in a couple of weeks. I'll use our system for very specific, either for very specific workouts or like recovery runs to increase my run mileage as well. And so like doing some doubles with our system, I'm using it very specifically, but like it's very important to be out running on the roads, right? Just so that you continue to get the, also the good impact that you need to get.
With your own running, and you had a really great post on your website about your process going through injury and you actually won a race, which was very, very interesting to see. But when do you use Lever? When's the best time for you to implement using the product?
Just touch on like that race from last summer real quick. I have been a very healthy athlete most of my career. The only injury that I have gotten was like a running injury, was a stress fracture my sophomore year of high school. And then so from sophomore year of high school, I ran all the way healthy the rest of high school, all the way through college. And then after college, I became a professional triathlete for a couple of years, stayed healthy that whole period, and now kind of doing more ultra stuff as well. And so I've had a very, very healthy, you know, decade, 15 years of my life. And this summer was the first time that I actually experienced like a setback due to an injury. And I had like jumper's knee is just like the common term for it, right? So I was 6 weeks out for my ultra marathon, got jumper's knee. I was having a really tough time even going out for a quarter mile run. So I took a couple of weeks off, did some biking during that time period, and then worked with a PT, just had to develop a plan to come back. And so I used our system a lot in that comeback plan. And I realized really quickly, I couldn't do two overground runs at the same time, like back-to-back days, I should say. So if I ran overground, you know, on a Monday, I could not follow that up with another overground run. I had to use the Lever system, go for a bike ride, and keep up my mileage that way. And so I thought I was going to have to disqualify myself, essentially, like completely not be able to withdraw myself from the race to, yes, getting to the starting line, not only the starting line, but like actually winning the race, which was like crazy. So it was a 50-mile ultra in Leadville. So I think that shows you a bit about like just the power of bodyweight support too, of like, I would not have been able to get the mileage that I would have needed to even finish that race last summer. So now that I'm healthy though, kind of fast forward 6 months, I'm using it essentially 2 to 3 runs per week. Good example, Monday I went for an 8-mile run in the morning. I followed that up with like a 4-mile Lever double in the afternoon. And then, you know, today I did a trail run, 12-mile trail run outside. Tomorrow I'll do a Lever recovery run and just light 6 to 8 miles or so. And then I'll go for another like light day on Thursday, do my long run on Friday, and then follow that up with like a Lever recovery run either Saturday or Sunday. So I'm using it, like I said, 2-3 runs a week. And it's just to keep the mileage high, but also more than that, just to make sure that I can keep building throughout this training block rather than like get worn out at some point. It's really cool, just your body's ability to recover really quickly after doing a Lever run. That's how I'm using it.
Would there be any situations where you would ramp up your use of Lever? Or I know the suspension goes up to, the support goes up to 45 pounds, where you would alter kind of how much you lean on it?
So I've just been running again for about 7 weeks or so. I did a High Rocks competition in November. So I did very little running, like maybe 20-ish miles a week with like the weight training that I needed to do to get ready for High Rocks. I leaned on like Lever specifically a lot more in December to get that mileage ramped up to that 60, 70 miles per week quicker than I could have if I was just doing like full body weight runs outdoors. And then when you mentioned like the 45 pounds, when you're healthy, 10 to 15% reduction of your body weight is like really all you should be doing. If you're injured, that's a whole different conversation around like your return to run protocol and what you need to do from a pain management standpoint and how much you need to take off to actually follow a progression plan like that.
Got it. So it really kind of depends on the situation, how much you use it. And actually just, I'm thinking of myself. So I'm just tapering for a race in 2 weeks. Does it come in to play there? Could it help with the taper where you're trying to get more recovery in and you just want to take some stress off the joints?
Yeah, absolutely. And honestly, I was talking to a guy that owns a triathlon coaching business the other day, and he said he really dials in the Lever workouts in the taper. The taper is the most specific portion of his Lever workouts that he does because he wants to make sure that his body is like, and not just for him, but like for all of his athletes, is really sharp for race day, right? Like running, especially for triathletes, running is what bangs your body up the most out of the swim and bike, right? Obviously. So being able to reduce the body weight, but also get the turnover and the workouts that you need in, it freshens you up for race day in a pretty cool way. When you taper, do you reduce your mileage like significantly, or do you race well reducing your mileage, or like staying kind of consistent towards race day?
What I meant to do, what my coach has me doing, is reducing my mileage, but I'm just still a bit of a novice, newbie, and I'm like, I want to keep my miles high. So like, I will reduce it, but it's tricky. You know, like when you get into the habit of running regularly and a lot, it just feels abnormal, especially when you get nervous coming up to a race. So reluctantly, I reduce my mileage. Yeah.
Yeah. No, and I think that's what everyone's been doing for a very long time. I know for me personally, I don't do that well reducing my mileage. My body just kind of like gets into slug mode, just like slows down a little bit as I start reducing my mileage and like taking it easy. You know, the week of is a little different before a race, but like I try to lead up as far as I can and then lean on body weight support a little bit more and more and more as I get closer to race day.
Yeah, that sounds like an ideal way to use it, properly taper. So just one question that comes to mind is walking. It, like, and let's say somebody is like properly injured. Does Lever have an application there where, you know, it can help people get back walking like when they're really injured? Is there many people using it for that purpose?
I'll start by saying, you know, we work with a wide range of injuries. And so, you know, anywhere from, you know, stress fractures, Achilles tendinopathy, plantar fasciitis is a big one that we help people come back from, shin splints, you know, a lot of knee issues. Like, and then we work with a few, you know, doctors and physical therapists as well that are specific with like hip replacements or even like knee replacements. And so we work across all different types of injuries and surgeries and kind of comeback plans. So, you know, it doesn't matter whether you're walking or running, like the application of bodyweight support still stays the same. And honestly, it's even more, not more important, but it's very important for, especially like coming back from a hip or like a knee, to start the moving process again so that you don't spend too much time like sitting on a couch, right? Or just like being very lethargic. It allows your body to start moving again and increasing like that healing process for it.
Totally. Yeah. I actually just had this conversation with a client today where the client was like, I'm feeling sore. Will I give it a rest? And I'm kind of like, no, you know, let's figure out a way to modify and keep training, because it will speed up the recovery process. So who is kind of like the ideal sort of client or user of Lever? Like, who is it designed for in mind?
Yeah. So ultimately it was designed to be an accessible and affordable way to do bodyweight support, right? Across all customer bases. But I'd say very specifically in the last few years, we've been working with individuals at their homes. Like, they have our unit at their home treadmill set up. So a lot of Ironman athletes, a lot of marathoners. Talking to a guy the other day, he's been using our product for 3 years now, and he's 63 or 64 years old, and he's still wanting to hit some marathons, right? And so, and he views it in the way of like, just by keeping his body moving and active, it gives him the opportunity to have longevity in the sport than if he like takes a setback. He even told me, he's like, if he gets a setback now at 63, 64 years old, it really takes the fitness out of him. It takes a lot longer to build back up. And so he's using our system a lot just to stay as consistent as he possibly can get like throughout the year. So like, that's a great example of someone that we're working with that's, you know, still wants to see a lot and expect a lot from their body at 63, 64 years old.
Wow. Yeah. Just staying consistent as you get older. That's, yeah, the key to fitness. So just with the 45 pounds that the suspension can provide, like, why 45? And then you mentioned the numbers of like 10 to 15% is kind of the max. So can you just explain a little bit of the thinking behind those numbers?
So early on when we got started, we felt very safe in like, in all the testing that we did, that 45 was the max weight that somebody should take off. Now, you can take anywhere from 0 to 45 off, right? So it's a sliding scale there, but the 45 limit we set, you know, when we started the company, essentially, just because that was the safest resistance from the band for the shorts, for the, just our whole system setup. That actually is one of the things that we are working on right now, is to increase that weight. And, you know, we're looking at a few of those variables that I just mentioned and increasing the strength of those to be able to reduce more body weight. And then as far as like the 10 to 15% that you mentioned, you know, those are specifically there for like, if you're healthy and you're wanting to use lever for performance purposes, if you take more than 15% of your body weight off, like, and you experience that for yourself, like you'll absolutely be able to tell, like, I'm at 10% or I'm at 20%. 20% is a lot more bouncy. You're not having to work as hard. I'm kind of going back to that model that I mentioned earlier of like around every 10% is 30 seconds per mile faster. Like if you go to 20% body weight reduced, you have to automatically run 1 minute per mile faster just to match your heart rate at a normal run outdoors. And so to get any benefit from it, you have to go faster, obviously, right? And so 20% is very bouncy, you know, 10, that's why I said 10 to 15% is a pretty good sweet spot. I like to stay around 12%, honestly, in between that 10 to 15% range.
Interesting. So, you know, going kind of at your top end speed or, you know, at your race pace, it's kind of hard to train your mechanics or, you know, your gait at that time. And it can sometimes like even fall apart, the wheels can start to come off. So is there people using it to train at higher speeds and to work on their form at higher speeds, which would be trickier than without the suspension?
Yeah, you know, I think top end speeds definitely hard regardless, right, of holding everything together. A good friend of mine, he owns Run DNA, which is a running gait analysis company, and they're doing a lot of really cool things. And one of the things that he even recommends is, if you're having a tough time like holding like that correct gait form together for like a longer run, like using body weight support allows you to actually hold it for a longer period of time, right? Like if your body starts shutting down around like mile six, because you are like practicing a new form of running, body weight support kind of gives you that extra bit that you need to like hold yourself together for a little bit longer, just because it's not putting as much stress on the body.
Interesting. And does that carry over then? Have you seen any kind of feedback from people who have said that they've noticed the race pace was easier, or do you have any results yet on that?
Yeah, I mean, not as much around like race pace. You know, I think the professional triathletes we work with dabble a lot with the overspeed sessions. So doing like their tempos using our system, longer threshold runs using our system. And so that's a lot more applicable in the triathlon world. Like I don't have any stories for you right now around like, you know, marathoners doing threshold runs and then ultimately saying, hey, race pace is easy, because that's a much faster pace than doing a marathon in the Ironman, right? So definitely different paces there and efforts.
Yeah, no doubt it'll happen, because, you know, just as more people start to use it. So yeah. With running, you know, what are kind of like the most common injuries that you're aware of? And then, you know, what are people's experiences with injuries and going from using lever to going through that process of using lever and coming out the other end?
Yeah. So there's a whole even bucket of, and they're called common running injuries, right? And those are the plantar fasciitis, Achilles tendinopathy, shin splints is a big one, but even bone stress injuries, you know, even lower grade bone stress injuries, those are all kind of in that bucket of common running injuries. And honestly, some of those are just like really, talk to people that like they would almost rather have a stress fracture than like deal with plantar fasciitis or Achilles issues, because they just last for a really long time and they're tendon based. And so you just don't know how almost to get rid of them sometimes, right? Because they're just really nagging and they take a long time. We have specific return to run protocols for plantar, for Achilles issues that people can follow and progress through a pain-free progression to come back from like Achilles and plantar. Friends of mine, Dom Scott, she's a couple time Olympian, has moved up from 10K kind of more to marathon paces now, or races now. But, you know, early, this was a handful of years ago, but you know, she had a stress fracture and she used our system specifically to come back from that stress fracture. And then within 3 months of her return to run, she raced a 10K and set her 10K PR by about like 17 seconds. And so that's somebody that's already been in the Olympics twice and has already racing at the top of the world like twice. And after all that, she set a PR in the 10K 3 months after injury. you know, that's one story. Another one's like Flora Duffy, who won the Olympic gold medal in the triathlon. She was really banged up leading into the Tokyo Olympics, and she used our system specifically to get the run volume and the turnover. I think she even had a quote that said she used our system for every single run, like leading up in that portion towards Tokyo. And then in Tokyo, you know, obviously I just said she won the Olympic gold, but she set the fastest run record in the 10K for the triathlon as well. And so those are obviously very elite level examples, but you know, we see that across our customer base as well, with people that are coming back from different injuries and wanting to still race the Chicago Marathon or the Boston Marathon, and being able to do that and actually perform really well at those races.
Wow. So it's a lot of potential for, I feel like, you can't say for sure, but I feel like speeding up recovery, but you know, it's going to be individual. Injury is so difficult with running that, like, you know, your options are to just sort of rest or to try and run through it in a way. So it's like, it's hands down, you know, worth trying to just to see. And by the stories you've given, it's got huge potential. So just, and those stories are with elite athletes. So with more like recreational runners, such as myself, what are kind of some of the experiences or the testimonials, feedback you've gotten for someone who's maybe newer to running or is doing kind of shorter distances, like the half, for example?
Half marathons, like we work with a lot of half Ironman athletes too. And, you know, I think the big thing is it depends on how you're using it, right? Like if you're coming back from injury or specifically for performance, but we've seen a lot of age group athletes, you know, take off a solid like 10 minutes in the half marathon. And that's specifically because they were able to increase their mileage. Like, hey, my body always breaks down around 40, 45 miles per week. But I was able to get your system trained for 55, 60 miles per week. Obviously just running more mileage, having the volume in your legs, but it's staying healthy throughout that entire training block. They were able to, you know, run really awesome PRs. I actually November, I talked to 12 of our customers and they were all age group stories, and we're actually taking a little too long to get them out, but those are starting to come out here over the next couple of weeks. If you guys follow us on Instagram or anything like that, you'll be able to start seeing like a lot more of the age group stories that we have that are a lot more applicable for people, right? Versus the Olympic gold medal stories.
Great. Yeah. Cause I think that's kind of an issue, is like trying to figure out how to progress the mileage and, you know, try not to increase too quickly, too soon, or just running into those injuries that are so common. So is it realistic that you can add mileage like faster than that kind of 5% that's recommended by using the lever? Like, do you see people being able to do a lot more mileage like in a shorter space of time?
It's hard to give that recommendation without the research that backs it up. I will just say for me personally, if I need to increase my mileage, I will lean on lever to increase my mileage in a significant manner to get to where I need to be from like a baseline volume standpoint. So I've seen it, I've done it. And yeah, I think the big thing is just like knowing who you are as an athlete. Like, are you a very resilient athlete? Are you an injury prone athlete? Like if you have years of being an injury prone athlete, like I would definitely not recommend doing that. But I've, even like this last summer, that was kind of like a fluke injury. I know what led to that. So, you know, I've kind of 15 years of like a healthy background and not having injuries, even running 80, 90 miles a week for a long period of time. From a risk standpoint, I'm okay taking that risk. But yeah, if you're an injury prone athlete and consistently see injuries at like your higher end volume, weekly volume, I wouldn't risk it as much.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't want to bite off more than you can chew. So just with like health professionals, such as myself, personal trainers, physical therapists, do many health professionals use lever with their clients?
Yeah. So we just kicked off an initiative to work with some of the PTs that we work with and set them up as demo centers. So if like someone like yourself is like, hey, I'm super interested in this type of tool, I'd love to try it first. We've set up demo centers. You can find those on our website. So if there's a demo center in your city, like you can go to that PT essentially and test out the system for yourself. So yes, we do work with a lot of PTs. We're definitely seeing like that becoming like a bigger space for us to play in as well. So yeah, besides, if I kind of did a breakdown, like that individual athlete is still the majority of our customers today, but you know, PTs are significantly picking up the coaches, the colleges that we're working with and their athletic programs, and then even professional teams as well. We're in six of the seven continents in the world, minus Antarctica, right? So Antarctica is the only one that we don't have a unit in today. So, you know, we're shipping units globally.
Great. So everybody can get a hold of it. So yeah. What I'm thinking of as well, I think that Zero G, is that the other, that's the competitor. They do some kind of like rehab movements, like for example, lunges, squats. Can you do resistance training movements like lunges and squats with the lever as well?
Yeah, absolutely. And so we're working on a whole like holistic program to like really help people coming back from certain things. And we have an app that's built out today already that connects to our unit. But in that, we're working on really providing a lot more resources for like people to use in multiple different areas. And you know, strength and mobility is a huge topic that we're looking to address.
Totally. Yeah, it all goes together. So you mentioned off air just about the research that's been done. Can you just talk a little bit about, you know, what the science says about lever?
Yeah. And, you know, just kind of even starting this call. So AlterG has been around this space for the longest, a little over two decades now. And they early on did a lot of research around their tool. And so as we were really getting started as a company, one of the things that was important for us was work with a team that was going to do research to compare what the impacts on the body are with our system and the impacts on the body of the AlterG. And so we worked with University of Colorado. They did some of the research with AlterG in the early days. We worked with that same professor to do that research with us as well to compare our product versus theirs so that we could also say like, hey, what AlterG's research says about what the benefits of their system also applies to us because the body is reacting in the exact same way with their system and our system. So that was some of the early research that we did. And then the later research that we've done was a little bit more around the running economy and vertical ground reaction forces and just like the impact on the body. That was the University of Memphis as well. Some quick trials with some other research programs as well, but yeah, kind of sums it up.
Very good. So there is research to back up lever and it has been studied.
Yeah. And not only that, like I think the big thing, which is a lot more applicable for people, is built into the return to run protocols. Like the protocols that somebody can follow to come back from Achilles issues, plantar issues, that is really applicable for like the average person that's like in the middle of dealing with like that injury. And so, you know, there are specific protocols that are written to come back from those. And so, you know, those are some of the things that are built into our app as well as like resources for people to be able to use and come back from as well.
Got it. So with the app itself, you know, you have lever, the device. What does the app do? Because it doesn't strike me that you would need an app, but again, I haven't, you know, actually seen the app. So yeah, what does the app do with the device?
Great question. Yeah. So this is one of the things that's been really cool just in our progression as a company. And so, you know, the early days, we had markers on our bungee to estimate the weight off for the user. At 8-pound increments, you could estimate how much you were taking off that way. Why the app is so important is because we created a scale that is on the front crossbar of our unit. And that is taking the calculation of the weight that you're removing and then feeding that via Bluetooth to our app so that you can actually see it on your phone. So you'll have a profile on your phone in the app. It'll show you now like, hey, you just removed 20 pounds of body weight, that you're exercising at 85% body weight as an example, right? So that's what the app is there to do specifically. And then also, like I mentioned earlier, like we have guided return to run protocols. And so you're able to, you know, connect to the device, connect to the scale, and then also follow the protocols, and they're step-by-step, day-by-day protocols to follow. And, you know, essentially using it as a way to like engage with the person to like continue their comeback in a very safe and stressful, pain-free way.
Nice. It sounds like it makes the whole process just more efficient, which is great. So myself, I have like a little bit of a niggle in my knee and I usually don't notice it, but if I do like a particular movement, I feel it. So let's just say I'm using this return to run protocol. Let's just say the injury I have flares up. Like, what could I expect? What kind of time frame? And yeah, what would it look like?
Yeah, it's definitely, you know, first things first. We always say to we're not going to be your medical expert. So work with, you know, a PT, a doctor, whoever you're comfortable working with. Really, once you're clear to begin like exercising, and it sounds like you're still exercising and still moving, it just sounds like a niggle. You know, I think one of the things that you can do is really follow just a pain management protocol. And like, and what that means is you just find the weight that you can take off to not feel any pain. And so for you, that might be, you know, 15%, that might be 20%, that might be 25% body weight removed, but you just would find like that, you would just find that marker and, hey, I don't have pain at this pace or this weight off, and then exercise at that pace. A lot of the protocols that are built for specific injuries, you know, start around 30% body weight removed. And then, you know, as you can continue progressing in a pain-free way, you know, knock it down 5%. So now you're at 25%. Okay, we can now move to 20%. And it follows 5% increments for that time period.
Did you go through this process in the 50K race lead up that you did? Kind of a similar process?
Yes. And so I worked with my PT to come up with a plan. I had 4 weeks from like when I was starting running again to the race. So I didn't have a ton of time to come back. What I did though, is I found what worked for me from a pain-free standpoint. And I just did that. So, you know, my PT said, you know, the pain score is between 0 and 4. You can keep exercising. If it's 5 or above, like 5 to 10, you need to stop that run. And so I would, you know, go out for runs at even full body weight some days. And, you know, I'll be like, this is for sure a 6. I'm not running today. And instead of like running that morning, you know, I'd use our system maybe that afternoon even. So that same day though, I found really quickly that taking off 15 to 20% body weight and running at a 3 to 4% incline helped me specifically, and I had no pain. And so when I kind of found the rhythm of pain-free running, I just stuck to that and made sure that, you know, what I was practicing for those 4 weeks leading up, I knew what I needed to do for that week of my race. So I knew I wasn't going to have pain on race day. And so that's kind of how I followed that pain management model.
That sounds so interesting. So can you kind of just go into a little bit more detail? So you had the pain, the injury, and then just kind of how it felt, you know, from like sort of start to finish. It's so hard to imagine. It's kind of like, let's say, for example, if I was injured, it's like there's just that not that many options to sort of work around it. You know, I can walk, I can rest, I can run slower, maybe run on grass. But yeah, I guess how does it feel to use the lever even mentally when you're injured? Because I would be apprehensive, you know, I'd be like, oh, my confidence would be a bit shaky.
Yeah. And so, I mean, very specifically, like I had patellar tendinopathy, had a 21 mile run the day before I started feeling any pain. So I did a 21 mile run, felt awesome. The next day woke up in the morning and I had a tough time even like stepping on my left foot because my left knee was just in pain. It was kind of the first time I felt it. So I was just like, okay, this is interesting. I'm still going to go and attempt my run today. And so I went to a trail and, you know, I attempted to go for a run a quarter mile and I just shut it completely down and walked back to the car. And I was like, I can't run at all. Worked really quickly with like a PT. I was just like, hey, this is what's going on. I have no idea what's going on. And so it really got to the point of like, okay, let's take 2 weeks. Let's ride the bike. Let's do things that we know is not going to hurt it. Then let's start bringing in a few runs to just see if this race is a potential, like is still potentially on the calendar. I mean, very early on. So I let 2 weeks go of like essentially no running. I did a few bike rides in that time period. And then after 2 weeks, yeah, I just started introducing some runs and finding out what worked. You know, I still felt pain at a 1% incline, taking 20% of my body weight off with lever. And so I went from just through trial and error, I went 1% and I just started inclining the treadmill. And I realized that a lot of the pain was coming from partly like overstriding a little bit too. And so doing some incline shortened my stride and had my foot land like perfectly underneath me. Right. And so that was
using lever. You're able to work on your technique.
I used lever, worked on my technique, found what worked. And so when I found what worked, I did as much as I could outdoors as well. Like in that same manner. Like I would just do hill runs. And I did a few things that probably like my PT wasn't a huge fan of, but I knew I needed, like, if I wanted to have a shot in this race, like I did a 30 mile long run outside in the mountains, like just knowing I was going to go pretty much climb as much as possible. And then just take the downhills, essentially like stairs, right? Like just take them easy down. And so I was able to just to find what worked over that 4 week period. But I mean, I had to quit, I think it was around five, six runs or so, where I like went out the door attempting to go for a run that day. And I had to shut it down within a quarter mile because it was just so painful. Again, on the flip side, if I didn't have the lever system, like I would have been done running that day. But instead I was able to use that afternoon and go back to what worked, you know, 3-4% incline, take 15-20% off and get still like the running that the volume that I needed to give the race a shot.
That's great. Yeah. That's kind of like very hopeful and encouraging for anybody who has injuries or experiences them on a chronic basis. So you've mentioned incline quite a bit. What is the significance of incline and why does like a treadmill make that, you know, easier?
I wouldn't even say the treadmill makes inclines easier unless you live in a place that has no incline available, like no hills available. We're here in Boulder, so I can kind of go out and climb from 5,000 feet to 8,000 feet all in one go. I use this, the treadmill though, very specifically with lever because I knew I could shut a run down if I needed to and didn't have to walk back to a car, right? Like by being able to use the treadmill, if I had any sort of like, okay, this isn't it today, you're still in the same place. Like you don't have to round trip it 4, 5, 6 miles in pain back home. And but as far as like inclines go, I think it's a very controlled environment, a treadmill. And so just like knowing that you're at 4% incline, I did many leading up to that race, I did many 8 mile runs at 4% incline. And it was just a very controlled environment. I felt within my pain score that entire run, that's 0 to 4, like the entire run, rather than being like, ooh, this is pushing it a little bit today.
Interesting. And so using incline in combination with lever, like, does it like kind of have a compound effect where it really takes a lot of stress off the joints? Or is it sort of just like if you're taking 10% off plus incline, it's kind of like straightforward?
For me specifically, I think it was more so like it shortened my stride. So I wasn't overstriding because I was running at 4% incline, which was good for the knee. And then, you know, reducing my body weight also just allowed me to like feel a lot more confident in that run. And even take like, maybe if it was full body weight, it would have been like a 4 to 5, but with like taking 15%, 20% of my body weight off, it was a 0 or a 1. So like I barely felt it and I was able to keep moving. But yeah, I mean, that's specifically if what I kind of used for my return.
The pricing, the rental options, like if someone's like, okay, you know, I'm interested, I want to try it. Like how kind of widespread is lever? Like, you know, for example, is there anywhere here in San Francisco? Yeah. What are people's kind of options for actually using it?
Like I mentioned earlier, our product starts at $999. That's the unit without a scale. Scale unit for that same model is about $1,200. And so you can either purchase it outright that way. We've also in the last couple of months have come out with a backpack version of our unit. So I guess it's kind of important to mention on your podcast here. You know, one of the reasons why we designed the product the way we did is because we wanted people to be able to travel with it and also have it very easy to set up at their house. And so the whole product weighs less than 10 pounds. It comes in a transport bag, our lever up units, like it's 4 different pieces. It clicks into each other and you set it right up onto the arms of a treadmill. You can be running on the system within 2 minutes. So it's a really easy setup process. Over the last couple of months, we developed Lever Go Plus. You can see that one on our website as well. And that's a backpack unit. And so instead of 10 pounds, that one's 8 pounds. So a little bit lighter, but it fits into a backpack. And if you want to think more of like a telescoping model, it actually just slides out. So it's all in one piece. And then it slides out and clicks into place. And again, sits on the arms of a treadmill. I mentioned earlier, like we work with a lot of triathletes and a lot of our, especially our professional triathletes, like are traveling all the time. They used to travel with the Up Plus, which is still great. It's 10 pounds, looks kind of like more like a duffel bag kind of model. They were able to still slide into like their bike bags and stuff that they traveled with. But this backpack model just brings it to a whole nother level of just the mobility of it and super light, really sleek. It's been a great version for like athletes as well as like coaches as well. If coaches want to travel with the unit for their team, that's been pretty cool. So the Go Plus unit is $1,449 as well. But we have the rental options for the Up units. And that starts at $99 a month.
Just what I saw on your site is the pants. Is there specific pants you wear when running, or how does it kind of clip in?
We manufacture our own pants. They're more like Nike, kind of like half tight, not Nike, but they're half tight material. You can strap yourself into them. It's all based off of a pulley system. And so, you know, unlike Alter G, rather than being like zipped into place, like our unit, since it's pulley based, allows you to still have free range of motion on the treadmill, which is really nice because, you know, it just feels a lot more like a natural running motion. But a pair of shorts comes with our system. And so that's included in that price point. It's in the price points that I mentioned.
Nice. Cool. That's all my questions, Brad. Thank you so much for your time. Is there anything we didn't get to cover or any kind of final message you have?
No, this was great. So first off, I really appreciate you having me on. I would definitely say, you know, follow us at Lever Movement on Instagram. You know, it's an Olympic year. It's going to be a really exciting year. And yeah, I think just if you're interested in learning more about how to train with body weight support, whether you're healthy or you're coming back from an injury, you know, Instagram and our website is two really good ways to find out more about us.
Brilliant. Yeah. Thanks very much, Brad. And we'll talk again soon.
Awesome. Thanks, Ross.